This will be the final shiur in the segment of this series in Choshen Mishpat that involves competition versus encroachment. And the final halacha, the final aspect of this segment will be based on a Gemara in Gittin, and the halachic term for this is Ani Amanakef Bereish Hazayas. Bezrus Hashem will go through a little bit the inyanim and will conclude with a case study analysis that actually came to the Beis Havad, and a very interesting question that involves many of the points that we mentioned throughout this segment, this section of the series on Choshen Mishpat of competition, and how a person has to ethically conduct himself when pursuing clients and deals, etc. The halacha of Ani Amanakef Bereish Hazayas, as we mentioned in the introduction in the first year, is based on the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara says Ani Amanakef Bereish Hazayas. If a person Ani is looking for food for his family, and he chances upon a zayas tree, an olive tree that involves climbing up the tree and possibly picking off the olives, which are hefker, are ownerless, and therefore he has the right to take them. He climbs up the tree and he puts in tremendous amount of effort, and he risks even his life. The Gemara in Bava Metzia explains the person who works and goes up on a tree, he's actually risking his life, and he's investing time, money, and a tremendous amount of risk into it. And he starts shaking off the tree, the olives of the tree, and he starts cutting off the olives, and the olives begin to fall down. And he does not make an actual kinyan. We know in halacha that something a person has to make if he wants to be kind of something from hefker, something that's ownerless. He wants to actually take possession of the item. He has to pick it off and make a hagbah or a mashicha or different types of every asset, every type of belonging, everything that every type of real estate or movable objects has its own special way to make the actual maisa kinyan, the actual method of acquisition. So he had this ani was on the top of the tree and did not actually make any type of acquisition on the zaysim, and the olives start to fall down, and somebody's on the bottom retrieving the olives. He takes a basket, starts picking up all the olives that this ani is investing his time and koiches in getting. So although there's no iser gezel midoiraisa minatoyra, it does not belong to anybody. It's ownerless. It fell down. The ani again did not make a kinyan. However, there's a iser mibnei darkei shalom. The Gemara in Gittin says that there is a gezel midivrehem. Now, it's important for us to analyze what type of effort are we talking about. Now, this concept can be applied in our business life in many areas, as we'll see some practical applications. But the basic idea is that any time, whether it's opening up a store or whether it's pursuing a deal that somebody else has pursued, any time that there would typically not be any restriction for Reuven to go and try to go after the clients, the deals, the business of somebody else. But whenever it involves an ani amanakef, a tremendous amount of investment, and the fact that this windfall is available and accessible is the efforts of somebody else, and you're cashing in on those efforts, there would be a iser gezel midrabbanan. It's a rabbinic iser. It's not the classical case, because you're not taking something that belongs to him. You're taking something that belongs to nobody. That's really technically up for grabs. But the reason why it's available is only due to the fact that somebody else put in a tremendous amount of effort and put his life on the line to get this thing done, and you're going in and cashing in on it. That's where there's an iser gezel midrabbanan. And when we try to analyze what type of effort are we talking about? So the Tosfos in Bava Basra says that you need two tnoim. He says you need two stipulations in order to create this new iser derabbanan of gezel. And those two stipulations is that you need the tircha, the tarach ani, and he has to have incurred a tremendous amount of effort, and also he has to be samcha daita alayu. He put in this effort, with the anticipation that Be'ezras Hashem, with Hashem's help, it will turn into, he will cash in on this effort, he'll cash in on the investment, and by you taking and grabbing it from under his feet, there is an Isser Gezel Medivrayim. The Amshul Shleimus says that it has to, that Yesh L'chalak B'tircha L'tircha, we have to analyze each and every type of tircha. If it's a little bit of tircha, it's not enough. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra that says that when Reuven purchased something from a non-Jew, so if the halacha is that if a Jew gives a non-Jew money in order to purchase a piece of real estate, even though the Gentile, the non-Jew, releases the real estate, releases the property before the Jew actually acquires that property, the Gemara explains why this property becomes a davar shel hefker, becomes ownerless, because the seller has released it and the buyer has yet to have had purchased it. And there's a question if there's an isra of ani mahapech b'charora in this case, when somebody's going to go ahead and jump in and acquire this property that was released from the seller, and the buyer has not yet made the proper kinyan, if that would constitute an ani mahapech b'charora. And the Amshul Shleimus points out that we see that even though there's an effort involved in regard in the person who gave the money, and he went through the purchase and he analyzed the property and he decided to go forth and go ahead with the purchase, still the only concept that we're discussing over here is the concept of ani mahapech b'charora, which we discussed in previous shiurim. But the concept of ani manakeh b'reish hazayis is not relevant over here, and there would be no Isser Gezel Medivrayim, even though there was a Tircha. Says the Amshul Shleimus, we see that you need not only the Tircha, not only the actual Tircha of going and pursuing a specific purchase. That's not enough, because every single deal has a certain amount of Tircha. It has to be a Tircha, it has to be an effort that's over and above, and possibly even a life-threatening effort. There's some places that say only in that case where you're really putting your life on the line, you're putting a lot on the line, in that case it would create this Isser. And there's the opinion of the Marit. The Marit argues, and the Marit says that no, any tircha, if my benefit is coming only because of your tircha, that your effort, that would constitute the Isser as well. In other words, it doesn't have to be a tremendously a tremendous effort on his behalf, but as long as I'm gaining my gain, my ability to get to this, to this fine, is only because you freed it up. You like the ani shook the leaves and got it to the ground, and that's the reason why I'm able to get it. That's enough of a tircha to create this iser. I would like to bring to the light a few examples of where this tircha and where this new halacha of ani amanakev bereish hazayis comes to play. The tshuvas, the responses, talk about, there's many wide-ranging tshuvas that discuss the idea of intellectual property. When a person creates a program, creates a disc, a music disc, or any type of intellectual property, and then he wants to patent it, and obviously, he doesn't want anybody copying it. It would ruin his business tremendously. So there's a big discussion exactly what the ownership a person can have on an idea, on bytes, on a computer. What kind of ownership can a person have on intellectual property? And that in and of itself is a shiur that Be'ezras Hashem we will discuss in this series. However, when one of the issues that are discussed is this concept of ani amanakeh b'reish hazayis. Even if we were to say that there's no ownership and I can't really tell you not to copy it because you're not taking anything from me, you're just copying what I have and you're reproducing my efforts. But the concept of ani amanakeh b'reish hazayis, many poskim maintain that would be a definite isser. That since I put, the only way this fine, this metzia, it's ownerless, it's up for grabs, you're right. It doesn't have an owner because intellectual property, possibly according to some opinions, does not have an owner. But since the only way that this ownerless group of numbers or this ownerless program came to fruition is only through a tremendous amount of investment and effort on my part, so there would definitely be an Isser Gezel Mederabanan this isra of ani marakab reisha zayis. Another concept, another example that comes to forth many times is employees. We take an employee straight out of college. We take a startup employee with the hope that eventually he will train him in. We even though he's not really qualified for the job yet, but his experience over the years will enable him to go further. And when we invest a tremendous amount of effort and time and money into a specific employee, and then somebody else comes and takes him away, even in the event that he's allowed to take him away, even in the event where the employee does not have a contract, but if somebody else to pursue taking this employee, in many cases where the company invested a tremendous amount of time and effort, might be an issue of ani manakib reisha zayis, and therefore the shaylus chacham should be asked. The Chassam Sofer compares this inyan, but a person who digs a large hole and finds a metziah, and as soon as he gets to the bottom of the hole, somebody else jumps into the hole and takes the metziah, takes the pot of gold that this person has uncovered. That's the effort that we're talking about. I'd like to just put forth a case study that we went through, and we attached to it is a very tremendous chiddush from the Nesivos, which really puts a clear light on a lot of these inyanim and a lot of these concepts. There was a real estate developer who was looking to purchase a building in an out-of-town community where he didn't really have the proper connection. So he contacted a real estate agent in that specific city, and he told him exactly what he's looking for in a piece of real estate, and he asked him if he could find him something. So the agent went ahead and dug up a property that seemed to fit very closely to what he was looking for, but the price was a little bit high. So the buyer told the agent, you know, let me speak to the seller, let me see what I can do. So he had a tremendous amount of negotiation, and they were back and forth for a very long period of time, until he showed the seller very clearly why he thought that it was priced very high, and he really got the price down to a price which was really a steal of a deal. It was really a tremendous deal at that point. So the agent really, he saw that this was a tremendous deal, and it was really in his city, and it was something that he wanted to be part of. So he asked the buyer if he could, instead of in lieu of his commission, if he might be able to have a piece of the action, to become a partner in this deal as well. To which the buyer agreed. And this agent said, you know, let's get this deal done. I don't want to lose the deal. In the meantime, I'll open up an LLC because I'm here on the scene. We'll put it in my name. And after the deal, I will, you know, we'll do the proper paperwork, and I'll turn it over, and I'll include you in the LLC. And we'll go into this deal together. It'll be 10% mine and 90% yours, reflecting this person's, reflecting his commission. The day after the signature, the signing of the contract, the broker called the buyer and told him that I decided, after looking at the deal again, that instead of purchasing it on your behalf as your agent, I ended up purchasing it on my own, and I'm taking the whole deal for myself. And the question came, does this person have a right? Is there any issue? Is there any problem? Can we force the agent at this point to turn the deal over to the buyer who was supposed to purchase the property? So just to classify, the halacha is that if a person acts as an agent on behalf of somebody else, any action that he does is yad poel ki yad balabais, yad shliach. It's as if it's the hand of the mishaleach, the dispatcher, the person who's asking for you to make that purchase, the buyer. If he sends an agent to go sign a contract on his behalf, even though legally it might belong to the actual person who put his name to the paper, but al pi halacha, since he did it with the intent to sign it over and to purchase it on behalf of the mishaleach, so it would belong to the buyer, and any act that the agent does on behalf of the buyer also would be accredited as if the buyer himself did it. Now, the only question here is, what was the intent of the agent while he was signing? If he did it on behalf of the buyer, then it belongs to the buyer. But if he did it on his own behalf, then we will have to see his halachic implications, but the deal technically would belong to him. That's one question. The second question is, does this have any relevance to the discussions that we've been discussing in the past couple of shiurim? So let's go through one by one. When it comes to marufi, this doesn't have any shaychus to marufi shachaveiroi or to yoridom nasoi, but the halacha of ani amahabich b'charora. This buyer was engaged in negotiations with the seller, and they actually agreed on a price. L'chayr would be a din of ani amahabich b'charora uba achar v'notloi. He's nikra rasha. So we mentioned in the earlier shiurim that when you have a person who jumps in front of his friend and takes away a deal from under his feet, a deal that was already negotiated, there was a meeting of the minds between buyer and seller, he's considered a rasha. However, the halacha is that Bezdin, once it's done, Bezdin cannot undo what was done and cannot turn the deal back over to the buyer, to the person who's trying to get the deal. So arguably, if the agent actually purchased it on his own accord and had in mind that he should do it for himself, he is considered a rasha. He's considered an evil person. Rav Moshe and Igros Moshe says that in order for him to take away his status, he would have to give it back. But Bezdin cannot force the agent to do it. He can tell him the facts. You're considered a rasha, and we suggest that you give it back, but Bezdin cannot force him to give it back in any way. Another question is he a rasha at all? We mentioned there's a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, which we paskin, we hold like the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam that says that anytime there's a good deal, anytime there's a deal that's considered a metzia, according to some opinions, even if it's a mecher, even if it's a purchase, but if it's such a great deal that it's so cheap that you can't find such a great deal anywhere else, there would be no concept of ani mahabich b'charora, and this person would be allowed to actually go ahead and purchase the land l'chatchila. He would have been able to do it to take it away. So there is no concept of ani mahabich b'charora. And even if there would be a concept of ani mahabich, as we mentioned, Bezdin would not typically turn over and paskin and make a decision that the agent has to give it over to the buyer. So arguably, the agent would be able to keep this property, and he may or may not, depending on if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam or Rashi, he may or may not have a classification of a rasha. However, we might suggest that this would go into the classification of the halacha that we just mentioned. Oni amanakev bereisha zayis. We mentioned that the buyer originally, it wasn't a very good deal. It wasn't considered a metziah at all. The buyer negotiated. The buyer, with his talent of negotiation and his talent of presenting the facts and showing the seller as to exactly what this deal is all about, he was able to bring down the price significantly. And he himself made this into a metziah, similar to the Chassam Sofer, which we mentioned earlier, that if a person digs a hole, he digs a deep hole, and then there's a pot of gold at the bottom of the hole, and somebody else jumps in and gets it, he's considered a gazlan. This is gezel medivrayim. Again, gezel medivrayim, a person's not allowed to do l'chatchila, but b'diyeved, the halacha is that you're not maitzi b'dayanim. Dayanim would not force him to give back the gezel, even though it's gezel, but since it's only a rabbinic gezel, it's only gezel medivrayim, it's nedar k'shalom, so Bezdin would not tell him he has to turn over the property. However, there's a very tremendous chiddush from the Nesivos HaMishpat. It's based on the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel and Shulchan Mishpat. And that chiddush is as follows. That there's a concept in, there's a pasuk in Navi, there's a pasuk and a concept called She'eris Yisrael Lo Ya'asa Avla. A person, there's a chazakah, there's a umdana, there's a Klal Yisrael is a very divine nation, and there's a umdana, there's a unwritten, unspoken fact that we are allowed to assume that she'eris Yisrael lo yasa avla, that Klal Yisrael would not do anything that's considered a terrible thing, an avla. And therefore, we mentioned that if this person, if this agent had the intention at the signing table to purchase it on his own behalf, then it would be his. And unfortunately, Bezdin would not be able to force him to turn it over to the buyer. Should he have had the intention in his mind that he was signing on behalf of the buyer, then it belongs to the buyer. Now, the problem is that we don't know what was going on in his mind. He comes to us the next day and he says that I just want to let you know that I had in mind, my intention was to purchase it for myself. Do we trust him or do we not trust him? Says the Nesivos that since the act that he did, if he decides to purchase it for himself, is considered a terrible thing. It's considered either gezel midivrayim, or possibly he has a din of a rasha, and it's considered a terrible misdeed. So therefore, he cannot come to us the next day and tell us that I attest to the fact that I bought it for myself. He's not believed because she'eris Yisrael lo yasa avla. Klal Yisrael don't do things that are considered an avla, considered a misjustice, and therefore we do not believe him at all. We do not believe the agent that his intention at the signing table was to purchase it by himself, because since he told us beforehand he's going to purchase it on behalf of the buyer, and we didn't hear from him till after the signature, we assume as a Bezdin that the signature was really on behalf of the buyer, and therefore Bezdin would be able to intervene and to force the agent to turn over the deal and turn over the property to the prospective buyer. And one last wrench that I think possibly al pi halacha, it's very possible that by this individual, by the agent claiming that he purchased it by himself for himself, even though we don't believe him because of the concept of she'eris Yisrael lo yasa avla, like we mentioned. But it's very possible that the mere declaration that I purchased it by himself would force him to forego his rights to a commission. There's a concept in halacha called haydos bal din kamei edim davim. When a person admits that he's obligated to pay somebody money, or that he forgoes a specific obligation that somebody else has to him, he is believed like 100 witnesses. And therefore, an agent, his job is to act on behalf of his client. And this agent who tells Bezdin that he didn't act on behalf of his client, his intention was to act on his own behalf and to purchase his property by himself. So he's being made in Bezdin, he's testifying in Bezdin, and he's believed to say that he bought it, he had his intention was to purchase it by himself, and therefore he might even forgo his commission and lose the property as well. A similar concept we have in halacha is when a person, sofer, writes a sefer Torah, a person contracts a sofer for $50,000 to write him a sefer Torah, and after he finishes the entire Torah, the sofer tells the person who hired him, I just want to let you know that I had kavana when I wrote the Shemais of Hashem, I had kavana for Avodah Zarah, or I didn't have kavana l'shma, and therefore the sefer Torah is pasul. The halacha is he's not believed afterwards, since there's a cheskas kashrus. The sefer Torah has a cheskas kashrus that it's for sure a good sefer Torah, and there's a roiv, there's a dominant, most people who write Sefer Torahs are mumchim to write it, are professional enough to write it properly. So he's not believed to say afterwards that he wrote it wrong. However, the Gemara says that since he admitted that he wrote it wrong, he would not get paid for that Sefer Torah. Even though on the one hand, we don't believe him, but in order, anything that's negea to him losing money, we would believe him. So the same concept we might apply to this case. He's not believed to say he bought it for himself, so Bezdin takes the property and forces him to turn it over to the buyer. But he is believed enough that he would forgo his commission, since he admitted to Bezdin that he did not purchase this property on his own behalf. Rather, he purchased it on behalf and he did not represent his client. Therefore, he would not be entitled to a commission, and the Bezdin would turn the property over and he would be out of the deal entirely.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havar Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.